you're entitled to ask whatever questions, give whatever support you need. The county is faced with some serious decision making. I don't have a problem with it.
I just think it would be easier if there is someone in this room that would like to say something clearly. With you sitting in the room, they might not feel that comfortable to say it. So again, I would ask Ms. Schmelzer to get with your office and coordinate a workshop at the nearest possible time so that we can begin to work out when and where and how we're going to accomplish all of this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your turn.
Can you include Ben on all of those emails and discussions, or just you?
Just direct them to me.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on such short notice.
Thank you.
This is great. I want to assure you I'm going to read every page, too. I'm going to try.
You're
going to
really sleep well over the next week.
Thank you.
So if
we can make 67 pages, it'll be
okay. I don't know.
So if we could maybe start to get your thoughts on how Coos County dealt with this and.
Well, I can give you a little history. So
is your mic on?
It is on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to push it.
Was it green?
It's green. It was green.
I can hear. Yeah.
Yeah, it's green.
Tap it. See.
You can huddle here.
Oh, there you go. You're good. I can just give you some history. So I'm kind of muddled in the time, but I think it was around 2012 when we had a different set of commissioners who decided that we really needed to look at integration between public health and mental health, and they wanted to combine a variety of departments. So we did quite a bit of research, mostly with Lynn Benton County, who had merged, and some other counties that had looked at doing that. The goal for that integration was twofold. One was, I had a set of commissioners who believed, as I did, that it was very important to go towards where the state was headed, which was combined care for all of our clients. The other was to look at how we could possibly bring the public health department into the black rather than into the red. In the beginning, that looked quite difficult. I was actually shocked when I looked at public health budget and realized they had such limited, specific, small amounts of money for very specific things. What we ended up doing was kind of like throwing everybody together. We combined clerical and support staff to make that function and to make that go with the behavioral health side. Behavioral health funding, and I don't know what Ken's funds are on behavioral health. Ours was, we were pretty flush. We moved into our new building and basically put everybody together. We started looking at a requirement that at the time, I think was 70%, although I just texted my financial director, it's now up to 85. So it's a minimum medical loss ratio that is a requirement for CCOs when they contract to be able to show that 85% of the funding they gave us was to be spent on clinical services. Mental health is extremely difficult to meet that criteria. So Mike and I think it's been 2 years ago at the time, started researching what qualifies, what does not qualify for an MMR funding. We discovered and ran that by our CCO that we could use that towards home visiting under public health and help fund them with it, and WIC. We also did more support staff and some of the financial staff, as well as a little bit in our public health director's position, because she was participating in our integrative activities and meetings. So, and we did raise the rates. We raised the fees for environmental health. We do fine non-compliant entities. I was just saying that gave a fine to Bay Area Athletic Club for their hot tub and their pool. So we have pretty high fees as well in environmental health, because it's very difficult to get out to, I think when you're in a vacation area, you have a lot of things to inspect. It's very difficult for Environmental Health to get there. They are, when I left, they were in the black. WIC was in the black as well as home visiting. So your cocoon could go under home visiting as well. What we could not supplement was the clinic. So immunizations, family planning did not fit. By the time I left, we had developed a program that we called the FIT program, Physical Health Integration Team. So we had a contract from Northland Medical Center. We have a medical physician who comes one day a week, who primarily sees severe, persistent, mentally ill individuals to provide primary care. The goal had been that at some point we could receive enough funding from the CCO to get additional nursing staff. Now, my thought had been if we were successful in that, those nursing staff could also provide some help on the public health side, doing some of those immunization and family planning type things. We did not get that far by the time I left, but that was the expansion. So I have not looked at the budget in 8 months, but I'm assuming they're still black and still running, but that's what we ended up doing, and it did take time to do it. So.
Okay. Commissioner Boyce?
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. You heard Mr. Duque say that Curry County shouldn't give up local control. And, you know, I can relate to that a little bit, but you see the success in Coos County, and so that prompted my call to your commissioners and the email exchanges and the invitation, and much appreciated you taking the time to come down here, of course. And so in the interest of solving this problem for us and how we might build our foundation and presumably land on our feet, and you being out of the loop a little bit, not much, I'm, you know, just by virtue of the fact that you're here today and come, of course, highly recommended, how you might structure, or if that is even possible, to do a joint deal with the two counties, and what your thoughts are on that?
Well, I don't think this is the first time that we've had this conversation, actually, between Coos and Curry. Years ago, I know there was a similar situation, a different set of commissioners who were looking at how do you give it all up, or how do we merge or whatever.
And by the way, you've been in Coos County 30 years.
I've been there 30 years, so I've been through a lot of different scenarios between everything. It would be very difficult with the geographics of it. I think we concluded that, because we looked at, could we share environmental health? Could we share? The travel time got to be the issue more than anything. As far as if you're going to save money by shared staff, you're probably not. By the time you move them around and they travel and you're paying for their time to travel rather than to work, you're probably going to lose things. So I think between the two counties, it would be difficult to merge the programs.
Thank you. I'll come back, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering what options you may have available. Thank you.
And I want to say this, asking to clarify something with you, asking Mr. Duque, you know, for the workshop down the road here. As you know, in the last 8 months, I'm a very straightforward person. I don't mince many words with people. I'm very direct in questioning. So I also know that you're on that board. And, you know, for me to see a board vote that, from what I understand, was unanimous to give this back to the county, and then you to sit on a commissioner's side of this, I'm just wondering your thoughts on that board's decision versus the hat you have to put on as a county commissioner and find that middle where our citizens are going to get the best services that we can offer them, but yet the county won't end up upside down over it.
Well, first we had a preliminary vote, and I was the only dissenting vote. And so as a commissioner, that was I think, to your point, a little bit touchy. But just in the 2 years I've served on that board, and this is, you know, I'm a positive person, so when I see somebody making tough decisions and is in complete control of all aspects, and I need to take out of the equation, too, that he sits on our budget committee mm-hmm. for the county, and I I really appreciate how he's worked on that. Like all of us, he's imperfect. But as I mentioned a minute ago, Mr. Chair, the 9 years that he's worked for this county is no small thing. And so I might have requested him to stay here as part of no hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. And yet, but the main reason for the decision, the request there was to have him as part of the solution. And I'm going to mention his sincerity and his record. So it all adds up to me as a one, I've only been here 2 years. So I do see him as a very critical part of the program. He's been a great resource to me in a variety of areas. Back to your question, I've tried very hard to learn all I can, and yes, not to try and wear two hats at the same time and have my votes compromised in any way. And that's why I asked him the direct question, how are the citizens going to take the big hit? And he answered that pretty well, and it was insightful for me. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. And again, I think all of us here that know Ken really well, do not underestimate his service to this county. His work out with the budget committee is as well as other things. I completely respect him, and I think of Ken as a friend as well. So I didn't ask him that. There were just some things I wanted to talk about here that I didn't want to maybe ruin a relationship because he took offense to something that one of us said. Because there are some issues that that I want to ask you directly, and a few of the questions that I have. I feel like he's cherry picking, and I said that to you in break, and I talked to you on the phone about that he's keeping parts of it that he wants to keep that are very profitable, and I feel like he wants to hand back the county the things that aren't. When the conversation that he came into my office in May, it was April or May, forgive me, I don't remember exactly when, he said, Chris, I'm going to do the county a favor. I want to bring all the services back to the county. I can basically put $500,000 in the general fund. You're going to get all of your real estate back that basically through one source or another we gave them, and receive all that back, and then we'll work with you to get this back in the county and get it up and running to make sure it's seamless. A few weeks ago, we were handed a document and says, okay, this is what we're giving you back, this is what we're keeping, and we'll talk about it in the future. And I know those are very short, cold words, but here you go. Good luck. So
if I may, I'd like to give you a little bit of perspective around what he had suggested the county contract out, which I believe were immunizations, providing the immunizations, doing the reproductive health services, which actually I want to note that any provider in the county can apply to the state reproductive health program to be a reproductive health provider, provide those services, and get reimbursed for them. We made some changes to that program about a year and a half ago so that it actually has the potential to expand access. And I'm actually not sure if there are additional providers, but I can find out for you.
It's just fee-for-service.
It's basically fee-for-service. So, and then there were some pieces around, I think there was a little bit of confusion between Title V and Title X, but my sense is he's wanting to keep the direct clinical services. That's not unusual to me. We would see, it would not be unusual for a local public health authority, even Washington County has kind of gotten out of the direct clinical services piece. They've worked with local providers to make sure there's access to those pieces. So, Curry Community Health provides some primary care, is my understanding, and so it would make sense that they would continue to do those. And in some ways, it frees you up if the county were to do kind of those more, kind of those other non-clinical services, to not have to maintain staff that would meet, that would be a nurse practitioner, that would be a nurse, those kinds of things, which we know that public health in general has a difficult time competing in terms of hiring because you can't offer the same salary.
Right.
And so I actually think that's not an unreasonable piece. I'd be more concerned if there were pieces like, we want to keep environmental health because there's fee revenue there, or some of those other things.
Okay.
So you know, and I think you would have to look at, you know, what's the cost benefit if you wanted to take on us, if the county were to look at taking on some of those direct clinical services.
And that's what I'm saying, you know, I'm a very point blank person, but I don't know enough about this to speak wisely. So that's why I would have preferred to talk to you guys in private so I don't offend anyone. I have one more question, Commissioner Gold, before we go to her.
John Huddle has a question too when the time comes.
Thank you, sir. Yes. My other question, and I just forgot what the question was, so go ahead.
Okay, I was just looking at all the services under public health, and could you just tell me in general, are we going to have to come up with like nurse practitioners or RNs or?
Well, that's what I'm saying is if the direct clinical services, you're not, you know, if you're not providing the direct clinical services, that frees you up.
Yeah.
You
I
know,
think
it
that's
would depend
big.
On the specific programs you would want to do. There is some work that would need to happen around CD in terms of access to screening and treatment. But we've also seen some counties that have worked out some arrangements where the screening and treatment is done, maybe done elsewhere or with a contractor, and the investigation piece and the prevention piece is done at the county.
Right.
So there's some different models for that.
Right.
You would still have to have a health officer. You would still have to have a public health administrator. And the health officer is usually contracted for just a county this size, it would probably be a few hours a week. I think the health officer, I'm not sure, I can't remember who it is off the top of my head right now here, but you know, that would be something. Do you want to?
Well, just if you were doing environmental health, right, you have to have environmental health specialists. But again, you know, the inspections and things could be contracted out. It's just enforcement. I think one of the questions that I have is, you know, how much enforcement is CCH doing? You know, I don't know. I mean, so that's a governance function. But if there's not much of that happening, then again, that might be an important thing for you to understand.
Yeah, in private conversation, I've been told that they're not doing a lot because they're so busy with what their current workload is.
Yeah.
So, council,
do you know they've been behind on the environmental health inspections, and I think our program is working with them to get caught up. So,
Council Huddle.
Yeah, thank you. So correct. I don't think they're doing a lot of enforcement because it's governance and. They had that conversation with us. But I had the question I was trying to recall. So it sounded like the person from Coos County said that when they looked at the overall provision of health services, they wanted to go to I'll call it for lack of a better word, just a single local public health, but also they combined their behavioral health with their public health. And so my question, and is that correct, that when Coos County evaluated their health provision, they combined behavioral and public?
We did.
That's affirmative, yeah.
So it sounded like the, good, and then when Commissioner Pash was describing what was presented by Ken Duquet as, you know, I'll call it cherry picking, or that's one way to describe it, but basically they would keep the mental health and give us back the public health. That seems to go against the findings and the analysis of Coos County. My question for the state is that of the local counties that are being their own local public health authority and not contracting it out for the public health, are any of those counties then contracting out the behavioral health, or are they also retaining the behavioral health services under the single model? If you know that question.
So it's so behavioral health is not my area of expertise, but it's a mix. There are some counties where the county has public health sits with, you know, pretty much all of it sits within the government, and then they contract for the mental health work. There are some counties that operate both mental health and public health as part of sort of one department or a health and human services agency. So it varies. One doesn't, you know, they really, from the state's perspective, they're treated very separately, but I think to gender your point, I mean, overall, OHA in terms of healthcare delivery is moving more towards integration. I think
sure.
Sometimes the distinction is that the public health work, you know, except for, you know, kind of giving immunizations and reproductive health, a lot of that work is not clinical work. And so yep. It's a little bit different than sort of integration of primary care and behavioral health
okay.
in some ways.
Yeah.
All right.
And also, is there some, sorry, follow up, is there also some overlap? You heard, so for instance, alcohol, there's
yes.
some, you know, alcohol treatment, is drug and alcohol treatment behavioral health or is it public health? And the funding of that, does it come solely from the state or does some of that come from the county?
What a mix.
I can tell you how we do it at Coos Health and Wellness. So we actually have a separate program, and that program is health prevention and promotion. And we put tobacco prevention, alcohol and drug prevention, gambling prevention, and suicide prevention under one program.
Question, you say you put it under one program. Is that behavioral health or public health with the prevention part?
It's a standalone. We pulled it from both behavioral health and public health and made it its own entity within Coos Health and Wellness. Now, they interact with behavioral health and with the public health side. So they're all integrated.
Do they derive some of that funding, though, from the funds that are allotted to behavioral health
and
public health?
They do. That's how we balance some of that funding out, was to actually put them all together, and they're running all those programs. So what we're doing with that program is, I don't know if you see that very often, but we run ads on KCBY. We do a lot of health promotion. We do a lot of suicide prevention. Every ad I see on there just about is related to some kind of preventive thing.
Are some of the customers the same?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
So, Commissioner Boyce?
Thank you. So, standalone program, mm-hmm. health prevention and promotion.
Right.
And so the light just come on for me, Mrs. Swan, when you said they kind of, they overlap. That's not what you said, but close.
They're all blended.
Thank you.
We were blending as many things as we could blend. And so one of the things we did for the home visiting program, which is in public health, was you gotta remember, when you blend staff, although I think Ken's done a lot of work on that, they tend to go kicking and screaming. And they're usually not happy in the beginning.
Would you mind saying that again, please?
Too much workload.
They don't particularly like it. I'll just say that.
They don't like change.
They don't. So we geographically place them with the children's behavioral health services. They meet, and they were required to meet weekly, to staff shared cases. So now they're a really well-functioning program. They meet regularly. They staff the same shared clients. So you may have a referral that goes from home visiting over to a mental health therapist or vice versa that maybe they need, etc. We have a number of meetings where they're pretty much forced to have communication, and it's worked after the first. Well, I wasn't sure I was going to live through the first year, but I did. And I think it's worked very well.
And speaking of staffing, this is another question that the constituents of the county have. Mr. Duque says a lot of the reason he wants to go up to public health is because the funding is short on it, that they should get $800,000 and only getting $400,000+. But yet the county, people in our constituents in our county go, well, look at the exorbitant salaries that these people get versus county employees. I mean, they're getting six-figure salaries, a lot of them. Why do they get those salaries? If they weren't given those salaries, they could meet the shortfalls of what the state gives versus. So anyway, that's where that is.
Do we have to absorb the employees? That's a question for your county council.
Chew on that, will you, John?
But I will say that Columbia County went through a similar, they still have a hybrid model. They went through a similar situation. I will just say it's been hard, but I think they're doing great work. They hired a local public health administrator who just has been very methodical, and they had contracted everything out and have slowly brought some things back into the county, and I know that their county council specifically looked at that question as they were bringing programs, and I don't know what the council determined. What I will say is when there have been transitions, a transition's hard enough, and so if you have a good staff person that knows the work, that's willing to make that transition to a different organization, and it makes sense to do that, it makes it go a lot smoother. But in terms of the applicability of that statute, Council Huddle would have to
some questions?
Yes.
I'd like to just go down the list that Ken suggested that the county take and just ask you some questions about it. Because for some of them, I don't think it's difficult to absorb or integrate into our programs. But there's a lot of these I don't know anything about.
Sure.
So
that's why I'm here.
Okay. So I'm going to start with, so these are the ones that he recommended the county take. So I need to know what's involved with them. And of course, if there's money involved, then I know you gave us something, but maybe you can just comment off the top of your head. So let's start with communicable diseases, CD. What is involved with that? That if we agree to take that back, what are we really agreeing to take back?
Right. So I'll give you, so first of all, I'm not a subject matter expert in most of these areas, but I can give you kind of a brief summary. So communicable disease includes those reportable diseases that I mentioned. So things like salmonella, E. coli, also things like TB, various sexually transmitted infections like gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV, so a whole range of things. So people go to a provider, they are tested by the provider, and that lab work comes back and it comes through an electronic system. And there has to be someone at the local public health authority receiving that and then going, oh, we need to follow up with this individual. They're positive for disease X. So then that person is, they're gonna need to call that individual. And there's a, depending on the condition, there are specific guidelines that are, you go through in an interview. And part of that is identifying, you know, if it's something like E. coli or salmonella, finding out like what might have been the source of it, you know, where did you eat? And then looking, well, are there other reports of these nearby? And then, you know, who else might have you been in contact with, if, you know, for TB, for example, that we need to also test and then make sure they get treated. And so it's those kinds of things.
But we wouldn't treat them, right?
And
we
you could work through, I mean, if you decided to have the whole kit and caboodle at the county, you could treat them, or you could work with a provider. Douglas County works with another provider that actually does the treatment.
Could the CCOs pick up some of that, Julie?
They might pay for it, but they may not be the ones to actually do the service.
Right.
I do want to, but I could ask, like AllCare, for example, would they do the treatment of communicable diseases? And I mean, they can help us with those.
They actually have some clinics, don't they, AllCare?
Yes.
Yeah.
So potentially, yes, you could work out some sort of, you know, what I will say is that sometimes it's easy to lose folks to follow up when they've got to go somewhere else, but communities have worked through it. And to do that investigation piece, you could, someone that has experience in epidemiology. My understanding is Curry Community Health has a really good CD person. I don't know if he's a nurse or not, but like, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a nurse to do it, but you need someone who's trained that can go through that.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to add to that, Shannon?
Just that the state puts out investigatory guidelines.
Yes.
So you're basically following the state model.
So we're not starting from, I mean, there's something that will walk us through the process of what we need to do. Now for that program in particular, do we get funding for that program?
There is some funding. I think most of the local public health administrators in the state would say it's not sufficient to cover the cost of CD. I also think though there are opportunities with CD sometimes for billing, where some of our county health departments have not been as forward thinking around doing that. So I mean, you want to be capturing, if you're treating, you know, if someone has insurance, you want to build the insurance on it. So
we would need somebody who's familiar with insurance billing.
If you're doing the screening and treatment. I mean, no one is going to pay. No one's going to pay for the investigation piece. I mean, a CCO is not likely not to pay for it unless you have some sort of separate kind of agreement with them.
But we can use some of the state dollars for that investigation.
Yeah. Yes,
right.
But let's see, what are the state dollars for?
It's 20, yeah.
It's $27,000. I mean, that's not going to go very far. I would need to pull the numbers to see how many cases you have.
Help.
It would help, but it's not going to cover strictly that. you know, all of
right,
that.
Right, but I think you wouldn't need a billing, I mean, unless you decided you wanted to take on the clinical piece of
right.
that yourself, right, you wouldn't need a billing person.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So public health emergency preparedness, I know pretty much what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, commissioners, I know that we have Jeremy needs help, and maybe this is a way where that person, they work together and they can cover each other. So that
is
that's
that your emergency manager?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
So our emergency manager right now is a one-man operation. So he's out doing the education. When he's at conferences, we all get down on our knees and hope there's no disaster. And then, you know, this person could technically be the second arm so they could cover for each other in that office. I mean, that's doable. But do we get money for that position?
Well, you get $70,000 to do that work. There's certain requirements that come along with what has to be done.
Sure.
But, you know, exercise planning. But a lot of that, I would guess, your emergency manager, you know, they're already probably, hopefully, talking and working on. So, yes, and we could certainly put you in touch with other local public health authorities where the emergency manager is, you know, is co-housed with the public health emergency person.
Okay.
You know, that's not a new model. And I think in some cases it's been super effective.
Okay. Although we did actually help fund our emergency management person because I had him write some of the family responses for behavioral health. So some of that funding for that position is through behavioral health for people's
okay.
health roles.
Okay. Environmental health, I know, let me understand environmental health. They go out and they check the pools, they license the restaurants.
Inspect the restaurants.
Right, I'm used to them issuing orders. And I know there's that always that enforcement concern, but that's environmental health, right? I'm not missing anything on it. Okay, to me that's easy to absorb.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the inspection department in coordination with the enforcement department. Is there funding from the state on that program?
No, because that's a fee-based program. The thing you should know about that program is that there's a legislative history to this, but how environmental health works is that you collect the fees and a portion of those fees get remitted to the state for the statewide sort of technical support program related to that work. We can, you know, get you what that remittance number is. You probably have it.
I don't know it offhand, but I do know that's how our other inspection programs work.
Okay.
A lot of times we're collecting something in a percentage, even though the state doesn't do anything, is getting a percentage. And that's just the way it's set up in Oregon.
Right.
It's called an administrative fee.
Yeah, Douglas County, actually, they were looking at transfer. We've been through this twice with them, and both times they pulled it back. But the first time they moved environmental health to kind of their planning department. And my understanding is that's worked really well for them.
And I've seen that. I know just where I came, we just moved the whole enforcement side of public health to our planning. Well,
okay.
We call it community development.
Right, right, yes.
So that's where I've seen it, and it has worked out well.
Yeah.
So, okay. Safe drinking water program. I'm used to well testing individual wells, but you're talking public water testing, right?
So, and I can get you the numbers. I might have it in here before I leave. I don't think I do. So there are the really large water systems the state has primacy on. So, but there are these others that are, you know, so many connections that then some counties opt to do those inspections and do that work. You could at any point say to us, we don't want to do that anymore, we want the state to do it, and then we would just remove that from the IGA because we haven't actually delegated that to you. So, but, or you can keep it, and in some places it's the environment, you know, it may be that the same person who's doing some of the inspections, the environmental health specialists that are doing the restaurant tourists, all of that, could also do that. I think it varies. And I don't know off the top of my head what the volume is that you guys have, but we can get you that.
Okay. And the state does all the enforcement.
And we do all the enforcement
yeah.
for that, actually, because we haven't delegated that to you.
Right. So you do all the enforcement on that?
For drinking
right
water.
Yeah. Well, that's a no-brainer on that one.
Except
So, give it away.
So, did you have some, or do you want me to keep going? Vital
statistics. Well, there is a, just a reminder, being this isolated, you know, our public, not public, excuse me, off the beaten path water systems that are public, excuse me, they have to go to Coos Bay to get the water tested. That's usually, so, you know, it's there's a 24-hour period on that, so that's sometimes real difficult. The reason I know that is because my lodge was had no roads, and so clear back in the 90s, we had to figure out how to get it down the river on the rig and somehow to Coos Bay, oftentimes to Medford. Anyway, that's all. It's not an easy thing for some of our people, especially our remote lodges.
So vital statistics, you know, recording death certificates, marriage certificates, birth certificates, right? Immunization records?
No.
Okay. And
what?
Can't remember if you do birth too or
yeah, you do birth and death.
We do okay. Birth. We've had four so far this year.
For the first 6 months after the event.
Okay. Because I know I have a question, why do we have a separate person doing it? That person told me that it's required by law, they can no longer be with the clerk's office. The clerk said, I don't know why we're doing it separately, this is a waste of money.
I don't
know
why they're doing it separately.
We could talk about that
okay.
separately.
Yeah, we can get that. I can have our vital record, the person, or I can have the state registrar just call you directly. We
okay.
can join cards.
I'd be curious how many vital records we're talking to see and what's
yes, and I can have her pull those numbers. I actually tried to get them yesterday and I wasn't able to reach
okay.
her. So, yes, and I don't know.
I don't know why. And they can charge some fees, right?
Those are set, but you do get the fees for the ones that you do for the first 6 months.
Okay.
And you're and so separate from public health, I mean, the statute requires you to appoint a county registrar, so that's why we treat it separately.
Okay.
So, and if you're not talking a lot of volume, I don't know why you wouldn't keep it, because it's a huge service to your constituents. Otherwise, if you just decline to do it, they have to order them from Portland. And, you know, when someone dies, they want the death certificate thrown
right.
away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's worth building goodwill in your community.
I would agree with that. So women, infants, and children, you say we have to do that, right?
You don't have to
I mean,
do
we
it.
Don't have to, but that's a statutory requirement that our public health authority provide that.
No. So, and we have, Columbia's one where we actually, so WIC is highly regulated and because it's a federal program, and we would actually, it's better if the county doesn't want to do WIC, it's better for you to return that. It's not tied to your statutory authority or requirements as the local public health authority. And we would rather than contract directly, and trust me, you don't want to monitor that subcontract.
Yeah,
it's so complex.
But I thought you said we couldn't pick and choose what we give back to.
I know, yeah, you can't in terms of transferring your authority. But in terms of a program that's not like so Ben basically returned most of the Title V funding that the pieces that would support nurse home visiting, because they felt like they couldn't afford to do it. So we just took it out of their contract. Now we aren't doing those, we aren't gonna look to provide those services some other way in the community. But with WIC, because there's a requirement for a statewide WIC program on OHA, we would have to find someone to do it.
Okay, so our people would still get that service.
They would have to get that service.
But you guys get to monitor it.
We would be the ones monitoring
okay.
it. And that one, frankly, it's easier on everybody that if a lot of times, I mean, most often it makes sense for the local public health authority to do that because they're also doing nurse home visiting and they're doing reproductive health services. And if they're integrated and there's behavior, it's the same, it's, a lot of it's the same people. And so it makes sense to house all those things together and have one provider for all of it. I mean, that's the benefit. But if you're saying we're not going to do that, then for WIC, we're going to have to find a provider.
Okay. Immunization school exclusion program.
That you have to do.
Okay. And what does that involve?
Yes. So every year, the local public health authorities or their contractors
get the immunization records from all the schools in the jurisdiction. And they look through to see if everybody's got all the immunizations they're supposed to have. And if they don't, do they have an exemption for that? Because there's a way to do that. And if they don't have an exemption and they don't have those, then the local public health authority notifies the parent or the guardian and says, you have to have these immunizations for your child by, or an exemption by this date, and it's in February, like mid-February, then your child cannot no longer be admitted to school. Okay. And so there's an, if they, you know, over time, so one of the things you would want to do if you're doing school exclusion is making sure, it would behoove you to have partnerships with providers that would be able to do immunization clinics for this purpose. You could just send those kids there. They can get the immunizations they need easily. If those kids don't get those immunizations, then the local public health administrator, and again, it's electronic, issues an order that says this child has to be excluded from school until they either have an exemption or they have those shots.
So really, if I understand correctly, again, it's an enforcement program, basically, where we're monitoring some records. Somebody fails to do it, we issue the orders. We don't have to give them the shot. We don't have to have any of that stuff lined up. We just have to make sure that they don't go back to school until
they comply with the rules.
Right, but I think you do have a responsibility to assure access. By law, you have a responsibility to assure access to immunization services. So even if you're not providing the shot, that's fine. You have to make sure that there's a place that people can get them and they can get them easily.
And not for free. It's not like we have to pay for them.
You wouldn't pay for them, but you would want to make sure that those providers are in the Vaccine for Children's program, and those kinds of, most of them probably are, so that they can get free or low-cost immunizations if they qualify.
Do we get any money for that?
You, for immunizations, get about $8,600, just shy of that. We don't get much for it. But you can use some of that $27,000 for communicable disease control to help support that work. But again, it's only gonna go so far.
Okay, public health modernization.
So that work is related to strengthening the public health infrastructure. It's new money from the legislature. It really is looking as a statewide, as a system, how public health services are delivered in a way that, you know, eventually every Oregonian has access to basic public health services.
It's kind of like Obamacare?
No, it's not like payment. It's like right now, and this money is the first time this money has come out to individual local public health authorities, so we're still kind of working through what that looks like. So for you guys, it's
43,449.
And that actually is, I think that's for, I'll have to go back and look. I need to make sure that number is exact. But that work, it can be used to help strengthen communicable disease control. There's also some health equity work that needs to happen. And then there's going to be some training and learning that local public health authorities will need to participate in.
So that's more of an administrative type function at that?
It's a leadership and governance function, and some of those dollars could be used innovatively around CD work.
Got it.
But we have to work through that.
Okay, and then tobacco prevention education program. I'm assuming that's something we could roll in with our juvenile department or
schools. Josephine County has done that, where they sort of put those pieces together. Columbia County has actually brought that back into the county. It actually has a fair amount of policy work, and looking at like tobacco-free environments, like tobacco-free workplaces, tobacco-free housing, some of those kinds of things. Some counties are working on tobacco retail licensure. Because it has such a policy component, it may make sense. I mean, I think that's one where you would want to talk more with the program. It may make sense to sort of keep that at the county.
Okay.
But it has been contracted out.
And that's also one that we get state funds for, and
yeah,
through the lottery dollars too, don't we, for that?
Not tobacco prevention, it's a lottery.
Okay.
It's all.
Not lottery.
It's tobacco tax dollars.
Reproductive health community participation and assurance of access.
That's really looking at how are reproductive health services available, comprehensive reproductive health services available in the county, and how can that, if there is only one, say, reproductive health provider that's certified by the state, we're kind of, that means that anyone could pretty much get reproductive health services for low or no cost if they need them and qualify. You know, maybe you only have one provider, so maybe the goal for the next year for that funding is we're gonna spend some time recruiting new providers to get certified for that program, so.
Okay, so we're not doing anything, we're just making
You're not providing
sure.
the services. You have to do a work plan and show kind of what you're doing to advance that work.
Okay, and with that one, there's 15,000.
So basically, most of this is administrative stuff to make sure that everything's being done and the services are being offered.
In terms of immunization and reproductive health, yes.
And that's what Ken has, and what's interesting, so Ken has said he'd actually do the immunizations.
Right,
so,
the shots.
So he's taken the part we don't want, the nursing, that part. He's taken that school-based health center. What is that?
So that money, I think I combined there. So school-based health center has, there's a kind of more of a primary care component, and then there's the mental health component. What I don't remember, I mean, I don't think, I have to go back and check with the program because this question just came up. I don't think you can do the mental health without the physical health, but I'm not positive, so I will check.
Okay,
I don't think you can either. This just came up, and I can't remember what the decision was.
He may want to keep that because of that behavioral health element.
Right, and they would, yeah. I mean, and typically what would happen, in the school-based health center, the local public health authority now has first right of refusal on that one at the request of local public health authority. So you could say, we don't want to subcontract for the school-based health center work, and then at that point we would just contract directly with the provider. So we could just contract directly with Curry Community Health to do the physical and mental health pieces. If that gets split, I think it's more complicated, and you know, we need to work through if that's an option.
Okay. That's all I have. I think it's doable what Ken has proposed. We have to talk about that, but
okay.
Yeah,
I think you know, if you would be the person sort of working through the nitty gritty on this. I think it would be great if we got you in touch with Mike Paul in Columbia County, who I think has been through a similar piece where they're sort of bringing things back into the county. He's done it very methodically and done a lot of the budget analysis around kind of what makes sense and what should be contracted.
Might have be helpful also to get Richard Thode involved in this. I know he'd like to be involved in it. He's on our budget committee.
Okay.
And have him help with some of this.
And we can work, I mean, the individual program, we can, if you decide you're gonna go this route, then, I mean, we will provide you all the technical assistance that we're able to help make this a smooth transition, make sure you have all the information you need, what the specific requirements are for each component of the contract. I mean, all of that. Like, I can't give you all of that today.
Okay.
Make
I don't
voice.
Know it all.
Mr. Thode is gone for 4 months. Just
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
He'll be back in mid-November for our budget.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any more questions?
Well, I'm just looking at the whole thing, and I'm looking at, we're going to be in charge of administrative, basically, and contract out the
well,
nursing and that
we,
sort of thing.
We're in an exec session, so we don't do motions.
We're not doing any
We're not
motions.
Doing a motion. I just...
Okay, thank
I just,
you. Thank you, sorry.
I was thinking about it, though. No, kidding.
I have one more thing while we're here, because there is a question that Council Huddle and JJ and I had. Who is our current local public health authority?
We are.
You are.
Okay.
The Curry County is the local public health authority.
Right.
And then Ben Cannon, you know, is your public health administrator.
All right.
Just answer my question. Thank you.
Well, I would like to say this. I don't know if we're done yet, but I want to thank you guys for coming. And I I hope I don't ring your ear off, but I'm sure we're all gonna have 100 questions in the coming weeks. Like you heard, we wanna, as quickly as we can, get a workshop together with Ken and his, maybe someone else from his board as well, and begin to work through this process and find out the best way for this county to proceed. But
I do have just
sure.
real quick. So we were told that one of the reasons why CCH is considering this or asking us to do this is because the state has been changing the rules so fast they can't keep up.
And the county's not bound by all the rules that the private, that his organization is bound by.
So this is where Ken and I disagree, and I looked at the list he put before you of sort of the timeline of all the changes, and I don't have it, and I was looking at it on the plane here, and I couldn't find it, but, you know, that long list, you know, there were several things on it that, so first of all, I should say, there used to be the ability in statute for a county board of commissioners to delegate the local public health authority. In my mind, I'm not sure why that was ever there, because I'm not sure that constitutionally you could actually do that, but it was in law, and so there was a delegation. My understanding was that when Curry first set up, worked with Curry Community Health, they did delegate, and then Ken told me, and it would have been before the statute changed, that delegation got pulled back. So that they weren't the delegated local public health authority. In 2015, there was a huge overhaul of the public health statutes in Oregon law, and one of the things that changed was it took out the provision to be able to delegate local public health authority. Mm-hmm. It specifically, though, says you can't contract everything but governance functions. So because of that, prior to that, we were in a three-party agreement between Curry County, Curry Community Health, and OHA. When that delegation piece went away, we could no longer be in a three-party agreement. The way that three-party agreement worked was that the county signed off on it, but really it was agreement between OHA and Curry Community Health, because that's where the money went when we did our triennial reviews. It was all done just with them because the authority had been delegated. When the authority could no longer be delegated, those three-party agreements didn't make sense, because our agreement is with the local public health authority, which is the county government. And so that's where the subcontracting piece happened. Then shortly after that, there were new federal rules about monitoring of contracts that then get passed on to subcontractors. And what it does mean is, like, our contracts with you. So if you have a subcontractor, you're responsible for monitoring your subcontractor. We're not responsible for monitoring your subcontractor. We're responsible for monitoring you and making sure you're monitoring your subcontractor. So does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's how those changes came about. And then if I could just finish, a number of things on here that he mentions, you know, notification of intent to contract. Some of these are guidance documents that we refined based on questions and feedback from local public health administrators. And they were good questions. They made us think, and we're like, you know what? We need to clarify that. And so we did. So I feel like some of the things he's put on here is a little kind of unfair. And then the triennial review tool revisions. Those, first of all, we went through an overhaul where all of the tools that we use for the triennial review, because there's one for every program, we got them all into a same template. They had sort of gone rogue over the years. And we wanted to make sure that everything we were checking for compliance on, we could trace back to a specific Oregon statute, rule, or something in the contract. So we did a big cleanup of those tools. So when you see a bunch of these on here as being changed or coming out or revised, most of them are because of that process. Sometimes our federal requirements change and we have to update the tool, because most of our funding, again, is federal funding, and so it's tied to specific appropriations and requirements from Congress. So there have been changes. The public health system in Oregon is evolving, but the things on this list really are part of, like,
regular operations and trying to refine those operations and make things better. And when we have situations where there are subcontracts, like the one, you know, where everything's being contracted out, it is more complicated. And because of those three-party agreements, counties really didn't have to do much. I mean, they weren't, they probably should have done more than they did, but nobody was really, including us, paying attention to that as much. And so now that you can't delegate the authority, there is more of an active role for the governing body in making sure that the work is happening.
You know, I'm used to working with like State Building Division and Department of Land Conservation and Development, and those rules are always changing. In comparison, I don't know if it's fair to ask you this, but in comparison, would you say that the clarification or the things that are coming out of OHA are about the similar amount? I mean, it's that, I mean, I'm used to programs changing all the time or clarifications coming all the time.
So if you're used to that, then I would say we're probably
similar. I was just looking at like the rules in Division 14. I mean, we rewrote those in order to implement the new statute. They were, you know, that was done in 2017.
Right.
I mean, they haven't been changed.
Right.
Okay.
We're getting ready to change them, or not change them, but add to them around the transfer stuff because of a bill that passed this last session that was at the request of Association of Oregon Counties and the Conference of Local Health Officials. So the changes
that went on ourselves.
Right. I mean, and I will say that Ken was part of the Rules Advisory Committee when we did those rules in 2017.
Commissioner Boyce?
Well, thank you again. But it is complex.
It is complex, absolutely.
And we have had it easy in the sense that we could subcontract out counties in general around the state. But you just referenced, you know, a new bill went through from AOC, and from one side there, thank goodness, the counties and the support, and then coming from the federal government, that's a big one. That's a big one that you have to deal with, and you're the go-between between the counties. So I do remember last March when I didn't know Mr. Duque came to you, but I know during the board at that time, things were looking not bleak, but a little touchy, and so over the last 6 months or so, things have improved quite a bit, for whatever that's worth. That's basically all I have. I mean, you just did a very good job of clarifying there, and you're used to that change. In rural county, though, we get a little resistant to not, you know, way beyond Oregon Health Authority, and just, I mean, we're dealing with the DEQ right now. We think we are very cordial and cooperative and properly do our research. There's three or four issues there that just go, hey, whoa, this is going to be a tremendous impact. Our citizens help us out here. Again, for whatever that's worth. But, and then I want to just ask Mrs. Swan, now that you're retired, if we can, and I haven't talked to other board members or director of operations, if you would be available for a workshop, we at least pay your travel or something.
I'm not worried about travel. I live in Bandon, but yeah, I'll be any assistance I can. Like I said, I'm retired, so
you're available.
I'm available, but not current on what's happening at Coos Health and Wellness today. I have a lot of history. That's it.
For getting here on such short time. Right. That's all I have, Mr. Chair. Unless Council Huddle and
Director anyone else have anything further?
I just have one thing, and I know we're trying to get out of here, but just one thing. I just want to clarify something so the state understands we're not a bunch of buffoons here.
Oh, no.
The comment was made that one of the difficulties CCH had was that they get their payments late from the county. The state gives us the money, and we're not transferring. I want you to know that they're paid within 5 days, maximum of 10, and we don't mail them, we deliver them in person. So if there is ever a late, it's less than a 5 day late period. Never has it exceeded that. So I just want to clarify, and for the record, so it's clear that we feel that that's inaccurate and we're not holding your money.
I do want to ask, Chair, I'm wondering if the only that you're going to gather again in 2 weeks, if maybe Mr. Spelser and it might make sense for you and I to have some subsequent conversation for me to provide you some additional information around specific programs so that when you go into that meeting, you have that.
Yep. That'd be great.
I want to be sure of that.
Commissioner Boyce?
If I may, I'm going to put my Curry Community Health hat on now. And there were some, the previous board we had had a total of 4 years combined, the three commissioners' experience. And so there were some issues the county absolutely dropped the ball, made it tough for Prairie Community Health to operate. Was it deliberate? Heavens no. But in those things, the board decided that it wasn't in the best interest of the citizens or anyone at that time to really push those issues. And here we are today. I agreed with that, and it may still come up at some point in time. Hopefully not, probably not necessary, because you see the transition here and how they're, you know, how we can build on this and make it work.
Well, and I would just
but there were some issues.
Well, and I would just
from an inexperienced board.
Yeah, that I think Ken has done a lot of work at Curry Community Health, and I am aware of some of the things that he has had to work through in his tenure there. And so I want to acknowledge that. I mean, I think he has served the county and Curry Community Health well in terms of some of those pieces. And you know, so I do want to acknowledge that for sure. I mean, I think, you know, Curry Community Health has done a good job, and they've had a lot of challenges, and I really appreciate.
He's done a good job. Yeah. He really has.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks,
so at
ladies.
This time, we are going to adjourn the executive session. If we could, we're going to have to go back into regular session. So if we can get...